hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing hallelujah. Hallelujah,
hallelujah. Oh, my soul will sing
hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing
hallelujah.
Oh, my soul will sing
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You reign forever.
Rain
for
forever.
Oh my, oh my soul.
Rain
for
forever.
Oh
my soul will sing
hallelujah.
This is my part right here.
You brought me over.
Yeah.
Oh my soul will sing.
Brought me over. One more time.
You brought me
over.
Oh my.
Oh my soul.
You brought me
over.
Oh my.
Oh my soul.
You brought me
over.
Oh my soul.
Oh my soul will sing hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Say hallelujah.
Come on, lift that up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll sing to you, God.
Hallelujah.
Because you're holy, I'll sing.
Hey.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday. Welcome to a beautiful day. Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful day. All right. I believe we're doing excellently well. I believe we're doing exceptionally well. Yes, I believe we are keeping God's word in our mouth. And I believe we're keeping God's word going in our thought life. I believe God's word is in your heart and your mouth. So we've come to the sixth day, all right, of a wonderful episode on meditation, and it is obvious we might have to do an extra week. Yippee! Yeah, so much to really talk about, really, and I don't want to rush it, all right? I don't also have this scholarly approach, you know, I just want to finish meditation and then we're done. So yes, like day one and two, spend time talking a lot about the introductory part, still spilled into a bit of day three, but I think that was worth it. you know, we build. Anyway, so did you notice that today we just started with song and then I'm talking, so no song in between. Let me know which you might prefer and then we jump right in. All right, so yesterday we talked a lot more about the juice extractor and the gusher. I said today I'll talk about the garden. But you remember what the juice extractor is? When you are able to suck the juice from the verses. All right, so okay, for instance, Proverbs 4, you know, 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying, let it not depart from your eyes, keep it in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. If you stayed with that, you know, so you hear, you know, you might have heard me say something like, they are not life to those that just read them. They are not life just because we hear them or we quote them. They are life to those that find them. That's you stay with the verse and then you were extracting that juice from it. Don't forget Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So it helps you to see the word better and then to do the word better. All right, so you see, my son, attend to my words. It means pay attention, attend, pay attention, attend, attend, attend. I'm expected to give attention, undivided attention. You're extracting the juice from the verse, all right? You know, but you think through, you could pick 3, 4, 5 verses. You could read through a whole chapter. Certain words are coming out, you know. Someone says, what if I did that and nothing comes out? Read 2, 3 times. You realize that you gain understanding much more than what you had before you read through, all right? Must you force that to always happen? The answer is no. All right, but think through, give it your thought, all right? Don't forget, meditation is to ponder and to mutter. So you intentionally commit your thought, you know, your thought time. You give it, you give God's word mental space. You give it room, all right? In your mind, you think about it. You think about it. You think about it. You think about it, all right? So you do that and it's important. You're right, so, and then the gusher, all right? You stay with it till it bubbles within you. And I explained yesterday that sometimes you're just into your second minute or maybe your 10th minute or 15th minute sometimes. And then you're meditating and it gets exciting. So there's that excitement, you know, and then there's this light that flashes. Woo, glory to God. You know, and then you're happy. You could even run around. You could scream. You could, yeah, but keep at it, all right? Keep at it. Don't stop. Don't stop at that point. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. Because you're waiting to hit a gusher, all right? You could pick verses on matters that really, really, I mean, very serious stuff, right? Like health, like finance. You know, you have a presentation. You're shaky. All right, so you want to meditate on 2 Timothy 1 and, you know, 7. You know, you're not timid. God hasn't given you spirit of fear. So you check different translations. You find, you know, that you are not expected to be timid. So you just meditate on it. You stay. You keep saying it. Now, maybe I'll say that when I get to garden. Okay, so let me say this while I'm at it. I've said that the first phase of confession deals a lot with you before it deals more with the situation. All right. This shouldn't make someone feel, oh, that means if I want to say something right now, nothing's happening to the situation. Is that what you're telling me? Now, don't forget that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. All right. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now, yes, one of the ways you can catch that is in the place of prayer and meditation, when that revelation rises in your heart from a particular verse, then you use that verse. You know, it's been revealed to you, you know, because the word then, Ephesians is the word rhema. So people could explain it from that light and it's true. All right, I'm sure that's happened to you before when a particular verse after praying or while praying or worshiping, you know, just rises up. You know, And then you know this is for this situation, right? So we say, okay, well, it's the Rhema. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that says the word of God is quick. The word quick there means alive. That the word of God is quick, alive that is, and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word there is the word logos, right? So God's word, all right, is alive. So don't feel, oh, until it's a Rhema, it might not be alive. God's word is alive. The logos in itself is alive. Okay, so John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, is in the beginning was the logos. So the logos is in itself alive. The logos is real. So I'm saying that to say that you might just have that, I need to say, since it's going to deal with me first. Like I said, sometimes it could take a few minutes, it could take days, it could take stuff. But you, when you have something to deal with, pick the word, face it. Face it. All right? And intensify what you're saying. When we say confession, now I know some use the word confession, some use the word declaration. All right? The word confession basically means saying the same thing. All right? You say the same thing, it's a combination of two words, all right? Is you speak word, all right? The logos, and then you say the same as, all right? So, confession is saying the same thing. And who am I saying the same thing after? Or who am I saying the same thing with? I'm saying the same thing as my high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying what he said about the situation. So, if he says something, I say the same thing. If he says something, I say the same thing. If he says something, I say the same thing. So we get confession from that, and that's wonderful. So this is what I have been trying to say. You know that a number of us have these daily confession kind of stuff, and they are wonderful. I encourage you to you could write out one for yourself, all right? Look at your health, what are the verses, finances. Look at those verses, make words out of them, all right? So, for instance, Deuteronomy 28 says, you are the head and not the tail. So, you could say that I'm the head and not the tail, and all that I do, you know, I come out tops. Now, all that I do, I come out tops is not in Deuteronomy 28, but you pick Deuteronomy 28 that says I'm the head and not tail. So, you add, you know, for understanding, for your own edification to it. So, in all that I do, I come out tops. So, you form words with scripture. You form, you know, usable language, as it were. I'm sure you understand what I mean, all right? You form conversational tone, all right, with it. Conversational words, rather, with it. And then you write it out, you know, half a page, one page. Some people have multiple pages on this. And it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. So what I'm saying is, don't get into that religious mode of, I just say it in the morning. I just mouth it. I think that's what I need to. I just mount it. I'm there. My day is fine. And I'm new. You know, so and then you say, all right, have you taken your confession today? Yes, mommy. You know, I mean, yes, Jesus. You know, and then you jump right into your day. All right. And that's how a number of us have dealt with Psalm 91. Because you say, oh, but this person takes Psalm 91 every single day. So why did something go wrong? If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, generally, I would pause there because I've taught something a number of years ago, and that's the fact that there are internal transactions. All right, I had preaching somewhere, and then I was asked this question about the fact that, all right, there's this brother, he's never afraid, he's always encouraging people to have faith, you know, he's always talking to people about faith, believing, you know, he teaches God's word very much, and then maybe like something happened to him. I can't remember what it was, quite a number of years back. And they said, what could have happened? And I told them, I said, guys, first of all, we don't know, all right? Except the Lord reveals it to anybody here, we don't know. And something I learned from Kenneth here again, don't put a question mark where there's a full stop. Leave it there. There are certain things until they are revealed to us, all right? We won't know them. And on matters like this, they will get to the other side, all right? Yet again, there are certain things we might have as pointers in scripture. Okay, but and one of it is the place of the heart. Don't forget, Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows of forces of life. So everybody could wake up every day and say, oh no, God's always watching after us. God's always protecting us. But you don't know what's going on in the person's heart. You don't know which door has been opened up to fear. So sometimes it's that. It's you don't know which door might have been opened up to fear and some levels of unbelief. All right? You don't know that. You don't know that. All right? So everybody comes to church. You don't know. I mean, we've all been doing by stripes. I'm healed by stripes. I'm healed. You don't know anybody that might still be shouting, no, everything's okay with us, who might shake someone and suddenly feel, let me go and wash my hand. You know, and then you don't know, but everybody's screaming, God has kept us. God's word is fine. You can't tell, all right? Number one. Number two, you do not know also where people might not be walking in love. And not walking in love sometimes gets to open, you know, the door. The Bible says in James chapter 3, that where there is strife, there's confusion and every evil work, all right? So you cannot tell where doors of strife might have been opened. You know, but you say, why did that, you know, so you can't. So there are certain internal things that except revealed to us, all right? So, but this is where I'm going with me talking about confession this morning. Something is in front of you. You need to move that mountain from you. Mark 11:23 is not daily confession. Let me say it once again. Mark 11:23 is not, since it happened to me, I'm head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath. That daily confession of you pick up paper. If you handle it like you normally mount it, you need a better attitude when you're speaking to a mountain. And if you get the right attitude in speaking to that mountain, please bring that attitude into your daily confession. Because the law of confession, the law of faith states that it must be in two places. All right? It has to be in two places. Someone says, did you just say law of faith? All right. So Romans chapter 3. Okay. Romans 3:27. Makes it clear, all right? I'll just open that in a minute. So Romans 3:27, all right? Romans 3 is teaching classically in righteousness. So Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? Paul is asking a question. The answer says boasting is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. So here we find it being said to us that faith is a law. And you know what a law is. A law is universal. A law is constant. Gravity is gravity. So there is a law of faith. So if faith is a law, then we need to understand how it works. And the law of faith, which is what I was saying, states, guys, the law of faith states that it has to be in two places. Faith has to be in your heart. Faith has to be in your mouth. So Mark 11:23, all right, says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that whatever he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. This is not you're taking, I'm saying things every morning, I'm just mouthing it. No, this is I believe, I speak. This thing got to get out of my face. If it's standing there for the next 24 hours, I might keep telling it to get out of my face. Now, there's a place for repeating your command and instruction, not starting it all over again. Not, this thing has not moved. Oh, yeah, let me start again. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to this mountain. Mm-mm. Every time you speak to the mountain, it's not a new instruction. Every time you speak to the mountain, you are enforcing the previous instruction. So you don't even have to say, mountains, as if you're not hearing me well. Let me say it again in English. Mountain, you know, no. You are just basically just, you know, you could talk in tongues. I curse you. I declare you're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're out of my, you know, I have direction. Whatever it is you're speaking, you face it. You face it. Are you getting me? So Mark 11:23 says you believe in your heart and then you speak. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So you find that believing is important. In fact, believing comes before speaking. All right, so can I say it till I believe it? Yes, you can use your gate, your eye gate, your mouth gate, your ear gate. You say things till your heart is full of it. All right, but that's also where meditation seems to help you off. You have enough time to chew on this. So why am I still saying that meditation has a lot of role beyond just confession? This is it, guys. But are you getting what I'm dealing with now? Please feel free again, ask your questions and all. The way we've handled everyday confession, if a lot of believers are not watchful, it becomes ritual. It becomes religion. It becomes, so have you done it? I've done it. All right? And please, let me say this while I'm at it. Do not do these things in fear. You remember Job chapter 1, how that when his children go to party in one of them's houses, and then Job hears there was a party. He tries to make a sacrifice in case they've offended God, in case they've done something wrong. He hears there's another party. He wants to make a sacrifice. And he hears another party. And Job eventually let us know that, listen, it was fear that was driving me. So don't have to, I've not taken my confession today. I hope I'm going to have a good day, Sha. You know, hope I'm going to have a good day. I've not taken my confession. So don't now take confession out of fear. Listen, Hebrews chapter 1 says, God upholds all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. God upholds all things by the word of his power. He's not every day saying, son, don't forget to stay there. Son, still, stay still. He spoke it and he hung there. Why I love to teach about meditation is meditation now makes you come into union with the word. Not just you speaking it and it's changing. You enjoy the transformation at a higher degree by engaging meditation. I believe this is getting clearer for someone. All right. Let me quickly chip this in. So someone asked yesterday about the place of silence. All right. So the place of silence, you know, happens a lot more in the place of fellowship. You're praying. You're learning to listen. At very many people learning to learn to listen. Now, but silence is not until you're quiet. Don't take meditation in God's word as the Eastern practice, all right? Where you have to sit, cross your legs, and then put your hand somehow at your side, you know, and then That is not God's word. God's word is clear. Shall not depart out of your mouth. And the word meditate means think, speak. Are there times I can think and not speak yet? Yes. You are allowing the picture to form. You're allowing the picture to form. Glory to God. But then you say it again. So it's not, but please don't leave that. And when I meditate, I just keep my mind blank. No. I keep my mind blank. You know, God fills it up. No, that you might open yourself up to stuff you shouldn't open yourself up to. All right, you fill your mind with the word of God. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, not whose mind is blank. All right, so be watchful there. Don't open yourself up to, you know, dangerous stuff. All right, you fill your mind with the word of God. At other times, you could now wait in silence. Even when you're waiting in silence, your mind is not blank. Your mind is on him you're waiting on, God. You know, your mind is just on him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm saying it out so you can hear what I'm thinking. You know, hallelujah. Wow, awesome. Praise God. Praise God. I'm expectant. I'm saying what I'm thinking. All right, so you can hear me. So that's that. All right. So that's that. So yes, there could be moments of silence, but it's your mind is on those things you're thinking of. Then you say it again, then your mind comes there. All right, now let's begin on Gosha. I am not rushing, all right? No, did I just say Gosha? Forgive me. Yeah, I'm sure some of you are like, no, it's not Gosha. It's Garden. Yes, you're right. Garden. Yes, you're right. Garden. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Very, very, very interesting verse of the Bible. And then he tells us in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Some versions say, all right, instead of husbandry there, say you are God's garden. You are God's garden. You are God's garden. Okay? Don't forget, Paul was saying in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos has watered, God gave the increase. So Paul planted, like we get to say it, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. How did Paul plant? He planted by preaching and teaching the word. How did Apollos plant? Did he carry a can of water and pour it over them in the churches, or in the church in Corinth, and say, Paul planted the word, let me water you people? Now, Apollos also watered by preaching and teaching the word. So planting is by word. Watering also is by the word. So let's go to the one you know a lot more, and that's Mark. All right, chapter 4, the parable, of the sower, Mark 4. You remember Jesus told us this classic parable about a sower that went out to sow. All right, some fell by the wayside, and then some fell on stony ground, and then some fell among thorns, and then some of us fell on good ground. You remember that, right? So, thank God, disciples met with him and asked him, okay, Lord, could you throw more light on that parable for us? And of course, he said to them, if you do not understand this parable, how will you understand other parables? That means, guys, this really is the mother of all parables. You find that, me using the King James, right? In the 13th verse, Jesus, he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then shall you understand all parables? So this is the mother, this is the core of parables. And then he began to explain the parable, but the 14th verse now, that's Mark chapter 4, 14, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. So we find here, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, that we are called the garden. We are the garden of God, all right? We are God's garden. Then we're told in Mark chapter 4 here, all right, that the word that the sower sowed is what now? The word of God, the seed rather, the sower sowed is the word of God. Now, something really, really is important and interesting here, but I'll skip that because of time. By the time you read through this, you realize that the ground in the story is the heart of man. So the seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart of man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart of man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart of man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart or the life of a man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart of man. I know I've said it a few times. Let me say it 3 more times. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the life of a man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart or the life of a man. The seed is the word of God. The ground is the heart of a man. But let's stay with heart, all right? I'll explain the life part next week. The seed is the word of God. Okay, one more time. And then the ground is the heart of a man. Isaiah, rather, 55 and 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper where I send it. The seed is the word. If I take God's word on prosperity and I plant it into my heart, what do you think I'm going to get back? If you remember the law of Genesis, or the law in Genesis, that every seed produces after its own kind. And that's the law of nature. Every seed you plant rice, you get rice. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant maize, you get maize. Every seed produces after its own kind. So please, you must understand, therefore, that if I want something from God's word, I go to what I want from God's word. Oh, I need clarity. I need clarity. John 16, 13 says, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is your shepherd. So if you need clarity, go for clarity. Go to God's word. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, he will instruct you, lead you in the way you should go, guide you with his eyes. You need prosperity, there are verses. You need a baby, there. You now pick it and plant it. Pick it, plant it. Now, clear question, and a dear person asked me that yesterday. Listen, question was, sir, there are too many things I'm dealing with, all right? Too many things, How do I know which verse to stand on? And that is a classic question. The question always comes up. I want to deal with finance. I want to deal with health. How do I use all these verses up together? I've come to realize that there are verses that it is one blow, allow my Nigerian language, then die, all right? So one verse has a way of knocking a lot of things. For instance, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord is my, son says, okay, so yeah. So the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack direction. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack my babies. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack a job. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack finances. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't lack anything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. So pick that seed, plant it. Pick that seed, plant it. Pick that seed, plant it. And then you plant it, which is once anyway, and then you water it every time you say it again. So by planting is the word, by watering is still the word. You keep saying it every day. You say, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. So I say, that's a simple verse. Yeah, it's a whole lot of verses in one verse. I do not lack anything. Anything. I need wisdom, I don't lack it. I need favor, I don't lack it. Because the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd that feeds the sheep well, makes the sheep graze in a very nutritious ground. And the Lord makes sure that my ground is nutritious. All that I need, protection, it's inside it. Glory, glory to God. And our time is up. So I will see you on Monday. Have a very, very, very great weekend. Plant the word, water the word. See you on Monday.
Close your eyes and sing it. You are beautiful.